Please turn with me to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 1. 2 Chronicles and chapter 1. Segundo libro de Crónicas. Viente nueve, versos 1 a 11. Is that close enough? You got where we're going. 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, and she was the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square, and said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and turned their backs on him. They also have shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burnt incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the Lord God of Israel. Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them to trouble, to desolation, to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense." We stand at the beginning of a new year again. And while the Bible doesn't speak about the 1st of January, remember the calendar that the Jewish people ran by was a different calendar, begins in the May, around about May in the year. It's a different calendar. But the principle of new beginnings at the beginning of the year is one that is firmly established throughout Scripture. And you find a copy of these in the bulletin. But in 600 years after the creation, God, remember, destroyed the earth. And he called Noah to save the animals and the eight people who were with him, or the seven that were with him. And it says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 13, "It came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth." So on the first day of the first month of the first year, after 600, the earth was dried up and they were able to begin afresh. In Exodus chapter 12, God calls the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he says, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." And so it begins a fresh walk with God as he calls them out of Egypt, and as he gives them the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and as he takes them on their way to the Promised Land. And that begins on the first day of the first month, and in fact, on the first year. And so this began a new set of years for Israel. And then a year later, they had built the tabernacle. Remember that God had given them the plans. And in Exodus chapter 40, verse 17, it says, "It came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up." So, 1 year out of Egypt, on the first day of the first month, the tabernacle was raised up. And so again, the beginning of a year and the beginning of a new relationship with God. The tabernacle was the place where God came to dwell amongst His people and where they were able to relate to God. Then many years later, Israel was taken into captivity. And in Ezra chapter 7 verse 9, it says that on the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. Ezra was leading a group of people out of captivity back to the promised land, back to restore the temple, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And it was on the first day of the first month. So in our calendar, we could say it was on the 1st of January. Of course, it wasn't 1st of January. It was somewhere in May or April. But it was on the beginning of the year, the first day. In Ezra chapter 10, verse 17, it says, by the first day of the first month. Sorry, what happened was that when Ezra got back into the land, he discovered that many of the priests were married to pagan wives. And so he begins a survey, he begins to question the priests to discover who was married to pagan wives, because that would disqualify them from the ministry. And it says that by the first day of the first month, they finished questioning all the men who had taken pagan wives. And so a new beginning for the priesthood. We know that in the New Testament, Jesus rose on the first day of the week. The book of Revelation is given to John on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week. But I want to focus on the story of Hezekiah, and I was going to deal with a lot more, but I realize I'm never going to be able to finish that this morning. So I'm going to give you an introduction, and I'm going to conclude this next week. But in the story of Hezekiah, it says in the first year of his reign, on the first month, that is in verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house. But if you go down to verse 17, which we didn't read, it says they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month. And on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So Hezekiah begins his reforms on the first day of the first month of his reign. Obviously, that wasn't the beginning of the year, it was the beginning of his reign. And as you know, Hezekiah was one of the few good kings that Judah had. Israel had almost no good kings. Judah had a few good kings, and Hezekiah was probably one of those few. And we read here that what Hezekiah did is on the first day that he came to the throne, he began his spiritual reform. Right now, the various candidates are lobbying for the presidential election. And they have all kinds of ideas as to what they will do when they come into office. And they're making their promises. And some say, well, we're going to reform the health system. Others say, we're going to reform the immigration system. Others say, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And I'm sure that when Hezekiah came to rule, that there were many very important things that he had to attend to, because Israel or Judah was in a bad way at this time. There were financial problems. There were military problems. There were organizational problems. There were governmental problems. There was corruption. There was all sorts of issues that he had to deal with. But you know, it's amazing that he begins firstly to restore the house of the Lord. All of the other things he leaves for a later time. And I want to challenge you this morning that as we stand at the beginning of a new year, that we look at Hezekiah and we follow his example. And you'll see that he makes a covenant with the Lord. And we heard this morning about Joshua, who made a covenant with the Lord as they stood at the beginning of a new venture of moving into the land. And Hezekiah also makes a covenant with the Lord. But you know, it's easy to make those covenants. It's hard to put them into practice. It's easy to make the resolutions. It's another thing to keep them. But what Hezekiah did is he didn't talk so much about what he was going to do. He just began to do it. And the first day they put that crown on his head and he sat down on the throne, the first thing he did was he called the Levites. And he said, we must restore the house of the Lord. And I want to challenge you not to talk too much about what you're going to do in this new year, but just to begin doing what we need to do. To restore the house of the Lord, to restore the temple. And of course, the temple we know from the New Testament refers to two things. Firstly, it speaks about the temple of my body. And secondly, it speaks about the temple of the house of God, the church. Not the building, but the people. Those are the two temples. And Hezekiah, obviously, before he came to power, had already looked at the situation and realized that there was a serious problem. It took them 8 days just to clean out all the rubbish. And it says there was all the rubbish. And you'll read down in verse 7:16, it speaks about the fact that they carried it down to the brook of Kidron. All the stuff that had accumulated in the house of God. And you know, the reality is that there are so many things that accumulate in our lives. All the baggage that we pick up, emotional baggage, spiritual baggage, all the stuff that we fill our lives and our hearts and our minds with, and that somehow pushes the Lord out of the picture. And you'll see that they were no longer making sacrifice. There was no longer any worship. The lamps were no longer burning. The incense was not being offered to the Lord. The sacrifices weren't happening. But you know, it all began at the door. You couldn't do anything until you opened those doors. And so it says that Hezekiah began in verse 3, chapter 29, verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord. That's where it has to begin, with opening our heart's doors. Nothing is going to happen as long as your heart remains closed. And unfortunately, there are many Christians who, because of hurts in the past, because of disappointments, because of failure, because of guilt, because of all sorts of reasons, have closed their hearts to the Lord, have closed their hearts to the Word of God, have closed their hearts to the Spirit of God. And those doors remain firmly shut, with all of the rubbish and the debris behind them. But Hezekiah begins by opening up the doors. And we're studying the book of Revelation. And we come in the next couple of weeks to the church of Laodicea. I stand at the door and I knock. And you know, that is the sad state of the church today. And in that classic picture, which I'm sure we've all seen, of Jesus standing at the door. And remember that that's not the door really of the heart, but it's really the door of the church in the book of Revelation chapter 3. The church had locked Jesus out. And when you look at that classic picture, you see there is no knob, there is no handle on the outside of the door. And you look at closely, you'll see that the hinges are rusted. And you'll see that the pathway is overgrown. Because the door had been closed for such a long time that the hinges don't work anymore. And you know, when we look at our lives, sometimes the door has been closed for such a long time that nothing works anymore. We don't even know how to open it. But remember, Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will hear my voice, I will come in. I will come in. And you know, you say, well, I don't know how to repair the door of my heart even. But Jesus is knocking. And if you will just hear His voice and say, yes, Lord, at this beginning of 2008, I want to hear Your voice. I want You to come into my life again afresh. I want You to give me a fresh beginning. Just as You gave a fresh beginning to Israel. As You gave to them many, many times.
I want to have a fresh and a new start with you today. Don't wait until Tuesday, the 1st of January. Begin today. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And so Hezekiah opens the door. And I'm sure that the door was shut for various reasons. Somebody was telling me the other day about a garage that they have to clean out. But they don't know where to begin. Because there's just so much stuff. And you look at your spiritual life, you look at your relationship with the Lord and your relationship with the church, and you say, I don't know where to begin. You begin by opening the door. That's the first step. That's the only thing you need to do. Once you open the door, the next step will follow on that. But you know, when we look at that, when this person looked at the garage and looked at all of the stuff in there, and all of the piles of things, where do I begin? How am I going to deal with all of this? How am I going to deal with the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the hurt, the disappointment, the guilt? How am I going to deal with all of that? Don't worry about how you're going to deal with all that. Begin at the door. And on the first day of the first month of the first year, he opened the door of the house. And then the next thing that he did was he repaired it. In verse 3, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and he repaired them. See, the doors had been shut for such a long time that obviously the hinges were not working. Maybe there were holes in the door. Maybe the locks didn't work anymore. They were just in a state of disrepair. And remember that in the building of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, the final thing that they did was they reared up the gates. They put the doors in. But Hezekiah begins at the door. And he says, I have to open it. But I also need to repair it. I need to get it to work again. And I wondered about that, because why do you want to repair the door of the house? Shouldn't the temple be open all the time? So as long as the door is open, you can get in. That's all that matters. But remember that a door has two purposes. The first is to give access. And we need to give access to the Lord Jesus, to His Word and to His Spirit. But the second function of the door is to deny access, to keep out the things that need to be kept out. You see, and unfortunately what had happened in this temple was that they had brought into the temple things that did not belong there. And in fact, there were even priests in there who should not have been there. And so not only does he open the doors, but he repairs them so that he could close them and that he could keep out the things that need to be kept out. And you know, this year, as we stand at the beginning of the year, there are many, many things that want control of your life. They want control of your thoughts and of your mind and of your time and of your talents and of you. You need to lock those things out that don't belong there. You need to repair that door so that you can close it on the things that should not be in your life. So that once you have cleansed it, and we'll speak about that next week. But once you've cleansed it, that it can remain clean. But it began on the first day of the first month. Has to begin today. Has to begin today. Too many Christians, too many times, say, mañana, tomorrow, next year. Let me first sort out my finances. I many times speak to Christians. They said, brother, I just can't serve God because, you know, I have to, you know, I have to pay off my debt. I have to get my business going. I have to look after my family. I have these things. But once I've done those things, then I will serve the Lord. No, Hezekiah began to serve the Lord on the first day. And when you read the rest of the story, you find that Hezekiah became very powerful and very wealthy and very blessed. And this was a tremendous time of blessing in the history of Israel. But you know what? If he had begun anywhere else, it would never have happened. And if you begin anywhere else in this year, you will not know God's blessing in your life. But begin to repair the doors of the house of God. Open the doors of your heart. And you'll find that all of the other things will follow. Remember Solomon, the same thing. What do you want? Lord, give me an understanding heart. Give me wisdom. And when he chose the right thing, all of the other things followed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will follow unto you, will follow. And you know, there are so many things that we want for this new year. Some are beginning a new year of studies. Others are beginning a new level of their jobs. Others are beginning a new phase in their family and in their relationships. But if you don't begin by opening the doors of the house and repairing them, all of the other things will fail. They will not have God's blessing. And remember, as we read the passage, he says, why are our people in captivity? Why are we poor? Why are we in the mess that we are? Because we have forsaken the Lord. And as you come to the end of this year and you say, well, you know, this last year, just, you know, I didn't seem to get anywhere this last year. I didn't seem to make any progress in my finances. I didn't seem to make any progress in my relationships. I just seemed to be exactly where I was a year ago. Well, maybe it is because you didn't put him first. Because you didn't open the doors of the house. And so can I challenge you this morning? Open the doors and repair them. Amen. We're going to sing a song. My closing.